The Hamas attack on Israel was part of a U.S.-Israeli intelligence operation that succeeded. And its plan is to, in fact, ensnare Russia in a much larger escalating war in order to drain Russia of resources so that the West has a greater opportunity to try to defeat Russia and to essentially defeat Putin and pillage Russia as a nation. That is the analysis of my special guest today, Martin Armstrong. Yes, the Martin Armstrong, who is one of the highest IQ analysts in the world. And the interview coming up here today is with Martin Armstrong. You're going to hear all that. We talk about Israel, also Ukraine and Russia, BRICS, CBDCs, de-dollarization, government debt, and so much more. So that's something that you don't want to miss. Now, the situation in Israel is spiraling out of control right on time, you know, just as planned by Israeli and U.S. intelligence. You know, the CIA is involved. And it's threatening to ensnare a much larger group of nations. And we're seeing some very, very disturbing signs. For example, Syria is now launching missiles on the Golan Heights. And the U.S. is positioning its naval vessels in order to launch cruise missiles against targets in the Gaza Strip. And of course, Israel has declared a siege against Gaza, which is declaring 2 million Palestinian civilians in a war zone. And we are seeing some very, very disturbing things about calls to carry out essentially ethnic cleansing against Palestinian civilians. But first, I'm going to get to that, but let me cover this. Black Lives Matter organizations on Twitter, well, now X, are saying that they wholeheartedly support Hamas. And we are seeing across America and other countries, we are seeing the democratic socialist groups, who are really just socialists and communists, by the way, they are coming out in support of Hamas, which is bizarre because they apparently this is an endorsement of Hamas tactics. And Mike Cernovich tweeted out today, quote, Black Lives Matter is formally siding with Hamas. This is going to complicate the race riots in 2024 because the regime is going to have to cook something else up. Or maybe Jake Tapper will pretend none of this happened and do propaganda for BLM again. Yeah, see, Cernovich is pointing out something important here, which is that with two prominent BLM groups now saying that they support Hamas, those of us who have, of course, labeled Black Lives Matter as terrorist organizations, this is now being confirmed by these groups themselves. One of these groups is called BLM Grassroots, and they issued a statement in support of, appears to be in support of Hamas. They say that, quote, when a people has been subject to decades of apartheid and unimaginable violence, their resistance must not be condemned, but understood as a desperate act of self-defense. But they do not criticize Hamas or any of its tactics. Now, what we are seeing here on both sides of this is the conflating of Palestine with Hamas. And so I would like to start out here today with some statements that I think are very reasonable, and I think almost everyone listening will agree with the following statements. And this is just a precursor to what's coming. Now let's start with this: that even if you assume that some of these Black Lives Matter groups are terrorists, let's say, and I'm convinced that some of them are. Does that mean that all black people are terrorists? The answer is, of course, no, that's absurd. Similarly, if you are condemning, let's say there's some white skinhead Ku Klux Klan group out there, like actual Klan people running around, and they do something crazy, they do something violent, stupid, Does that mean that all white people are Klan members? No, that would be crazy. That's absurd. In a similar fashion, are all Latino people members of MS-13? No, of course not. Are all Italian people part of the Italian mob? Right? No, obviously not. That's crazy. So even though we talk about Hamas and the horrific things that Hamas pulled off against Israel, the indiscriminate killing of civilians, just the shooting of women and children and elderly people, the beheading of children in Israel, does that mean that all Palestinians endorse such actions or condone them or are part of them? No. What's unfortunately happening, however, is that many people are conflating Hamas with Palestinian civilians. And they are leaping to the false conclusion where they believe that because Hamas is bad or evil, that therefore, in their minds, all Palestinians are also evil, that all Palestinians are Hamas, and that all Palestinians, in their minds, have to be, they would say, exterminated. And this is what is supporting this ethnic cleansing idea that's being pushed. You can see it in the words of even Netanyahu. You can see this from Gallant, the defense minister of Israel. And you can see what's about to happen. They're going to roll into Gaza with tanks and military men, and they're going to start executing Palestinian civilians by the hundreds of thousands, probably. And it is, again, what's about to be unleashed, if Israel does that, will probably end with the complete destruction of Israel. Now, I hear people, I see them tweeting and posting articles, Hamas is so evil they cut off babies' heads. Therefore, they say, it's justified to go in and exterminate Palestinians. Because who cuts off babies' heads? Well, I'll tell you who. Abortion centers. You want to know who's been cutting off babies' heads for decades? Yeah, it's called a partial birth abortion. And the FDA, funded by U.S. taxpayer dollars, actually they have hired people to harvest the heads of babies. They are cut off during birth. They are severed at the base of the skull. Okay, I'm sorry to be graphic, but Hamas did not invent cutting off babies' heads. This has been done by the FDA, by Planned Parenthood, by abortion centers in Israel and the United States, with the complicity of the governments of Israel and the United States, and the support of Democrats, so-called progressives, who, many of whom now, by the way, support Hamas, kind of no coincidence there. And the abortion centers have been murder centers of babies for a very long time. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, by the way, you can just go to any search engine, you can search for, Tom Fitton. The FOIA request, F-O-I-A, FOIA request for FDA records on humanized mice experiments using aborted fetal tissue. And they took the heads of dead human babies that they'd cut off at the abortion center, and they used those as tissue to run humanized mice experiments. And it all came out, and it's all public record, government records. So to all those people in the corporate media who are now aghast, oh, Hamas cut off babies' heads. They said nothing when Planned Parenthood cut off babies' heads. They said nothing. Nothing. So the issue is clearly not cutting off babies' heads. If it were, they would have sounded the alarm on the abortion industry long ago. And by the way, the targets of the abortion industry are black babies. And so we're actually talking about Planned Parenthood being founded in ethnic cleansing and genocide, racial extermination. Remember, Margaret Sanger, the founder, said that blacks, in her view, are human weeds that need to be exterminated from the planet. And Planned Parenthood centers are carrying out genocidal atrocities and ethnic cleansing by chopping off the heads of black babies. Now, does that sound familiar to what Hamas is doing in Israel? Yeah, it's very similar. But the media is silent about one of those, and it's the abortion. Isn't that interesting? I wonder why. You could also explain to anyone willing to listen that, yes, Hamas cut off the heads of babies and children, but American LGBT surgeons cut off the penises of children. That's something that even Hamas won't do. I mean, to cut off the testicles and penis of a young boy, that's something that's so evil that it takes Democrats and LGBT pushers to stoop to that level of evil. That's what's happening in the United States, and the Democrats wholeheartedly support it. The medical establishment supports it. I mean, even, what's his name, Neil deGrasse Tyson is out there defending transgenderism now. A man who calls himself a man of science, driven by facts and rationality and reason. Well, except when it comes to all of biology. Now it's just anything goes, chop off the genitals. I mean, he didn't say that exactly, chop off the genitals, but that's what he endorses when he endorses transgenderism, or so-called gender-affirming surgery. Disgusting, isn't it? So if you want to talk about violence against children, then take off your blinders, you fools. There's more than just Hamas cutting off the heads of children. There are transgender surgeons mutilating children in America right now. There are abortion centers murdering babies by the millions in America over the span of a few years. Millions. Every day, children are murdered in America. And in fact, far more children are murdered in America every day at abortion centers than the total number of children that were murdered by Hamas in this attack in Israel. That's right. Every day, the murders of children in America exceed those numbers. And yet, you don't see the United States Navy sending battleships and aircraft carriers and destroyers. Well, I guess battleships are old, outdated, but you don't see the Navy sending its vessels to surround Planned Parenthood and say, stop murdering children. No, they send those naval vessels to Israel to attack Hamas. How dare you, Hamas, how dare you murder children? What's the message from America? Oh, we can murder children whenever we want, but you can't murder children. That's bad. When we do it, it's good. It's called progressive. It's gender affirming, you know, but when you do it, oh, that's evil, brutal, animalistic, barbaric. You see the hypocrisy. It's sickening. It's nauseating. So let me be clear. I condemn the actions of Hamas, but I also condemn the actions of the child mutilators, the surgeons. I condemn the actions of Planned Parenthood. And I do not justify, through all kinds of mental contortions, violence against innocent civilians, which is what Israel is now engaged in against Palestinians. So there's a tweet, well, a meme that was tweeted out by BLM Chicago. And it depicts, a Hamas terrorist in a paraglider with a Palestinian flag on top of the glider. And the quote says that whoever tweeted this, that they stand with Palestine. See, this is also conflating the issue. You can stand with Palestine without supporting Hamas terrorism or the terrorism tactics. And this is a very dangerous type of obfuscation of the issues from the side that supports Palestine. Now they're saying that the Hamas terrorists are one and the same as Palestinian people, which is not the case. That is not the case. Most people in Palestine, again, would reject these tactics. And then, by the way, you have the confusing issue that the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, that's supposed to protect people of Jewish faith against, you know, attacks, they support Black Lives Matter. The ADL has become, of course, its own fascist regime, by the way. They're not about supporting Jewish people. They're about censorship and fascism and dictatorial control. And now they support BLM, which supports Hamas, which is murdering Israelis. So isn't it interesting? I wonder if the ADL is going to come out and denounce Hamas tactics, or if the ADL is going to celebrate them. Maybe they've already denounced them. I'm not sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if they cheered Hamas. In any case, it brings up the question, what about all these corporations across America that gave money to Black Lives Matter, like Kellogg's, $91 million? Does Kellogg support Hamas, terrorism against Israelis? What about IBM? They gave $252 million. Now, IBM, of course, provided technology to the Third Reich. There's a whole book about that called IBM and the Holocaust. So IBM has, of course, funded, well, I should say provided technology to a previous Holocaust. Maybe IBM will continue to support a whole new Holocaust by supporting Hamas. Who knows? Apple gave $100 million to Black Lives Matter. Is Apple supporting Hamas and terrorism? American Express, $50 million. Amazon.com, $169 million. Hey, Jeff Bezos, well, he's not the CEO anymore, but Amazon, do you support Hamas? Is there a little bit of terror with every box that you ship? Adidas, $120 million. But Adidas, I mean, they support Black Lives Matter, terrorists, but Adidas shut off Ye, you know, formerly Kanye, because of something he said that they didn't like, something that to some people sounded anti-Semitic, right? So Adidas cut him off, but Adidas was founded by Nazis. Right. It gets complicated, doesn't it? Adidas is a German corporation founded by Nazi Party members, and they gave money to Black Lives Matter, which supports Hamas. So Bank of America, $18 million. BlackRock, $800 million. Who else? Microsoft. Uh-huh. The PGA Tour. Warner Brothers. Yeah, it just goes on and on. I'm wondering, are these corporations going to ask for their money back? Or are they going to double down and say they support Hamas? By the way, the ADL previously hired an outreach director who justified anti-Israeli terrorism and who said that Jews need to, quote, repent for Gaza's dead. And I'm reading here from an article on Zero Hedge. And after black extremists murdered innocent Jews in Jersey City, the ADL blamed black anti-Semitism on, quote, Jewish landlords and pawnbrokers and small merchants, as well as, quote, systemic racism against blacks. So it's pretty clear that the ADL supports terrorism against Jews. So I guess the ADL is all just going to join Hamas now. And then a few months after Black Lives Matter defaced and looted Jewish synagogues in Los Angeles, the ADL co-signed a full-page New York Times advertisement promoting the Israel-bashing BLM. In case you're curious. So, yes, BLM is a terrorist organization. They are now admitting it. They stand with the Hamas terrorists, and the ADL stands with BLM. So, in case you're wondering where the lines are being drawn. Now, for me, by the way, I want to be clear about where my lines are. I want to be very clear. I support peace and the protection and safety of innocent civilians everywhere of every ethnicity and skin color and religion, whether they be Muslim or Jew or Christian or whoever, black or white, doesn't matter, Arab, Israeli, Shiite, Sunni, all of it. Innocent civilians should be off limits for attacks and also military campaigns, which means I condemn what Hamas did in Israel, and I also condemn what Israel is doing to innocent Palestinians in Gaza right now. Both of those actions are wrong. They are morally wrong. They are repugnant. and they should be globally condemned. And yet they are not being condemned, are they? I mean, Hamas is being condemned, but not the actions of Israel, which violate United Nations war crimes guidelines. What Israel is doing to Gaza right now is a war crime. It is a crime against humanity. And there's no outrage among Western nations or the Western press about any of that, is there? Very interesting. All selective outrage only against Hamas, not against Israel's targeting of Palestinian civilians who are not Hamas. So I'm going to make a scary prediction here today as follows, that if Israel exercises some level of restraint and limits its actions to going after only Hamas, then Israel can still survive this. However, if Israel commits genocide against innocent Palestinian civilians in Gaza and other places, then Israel will cease to exist because Israel will be attacked by other nations that are much stronger than Israel. From the IDF in Israel, an official tweet, quote, "A number of launches from Syria aimed for Israel were identified a short while ago. Part of the launches crossed into Israeli territory and fell in open areas." So rockets from Syria are landing in Golan Heights. A multiple front assault is now possible. There is word that Hezbollah is preparing in southern Lebanon for an assault on northern Israel. There are rumors that Iran is becoming involved or has already been involved in the financing of some of these operations. And remember what I said earlier, which is that this whole operation, which is a combined U.S.-Israeli intelligence operation, is designed to ensnare Russia. They need to pull Russia into the conflict. And how do they do that? Well, sadly, one of the ways to do that is for Israel to commit genocidal atrocities against Palestinian civilians, to create so much outrage that it pulls in Syria, Iran, Turkey, perhaps, definitely Hezbollah, forces from Jordan, other forces in Lebanon, and eventually Russia becomes involved in this scenario in providing weapons or military expertise or satellite targeting or some other element where the West can point to Russia and say, see, Russia is on the side of the Hamas terrorists, even though so are half the Democrats in Congress, by the way. And also, so is the ADL, and so is Planned Parenthood, and BLM, and so on. They're all on the side of Hamas. Well, I don't know about Planned Parenthood. I mean, they just share tactics of cutting off babies' heads. But the U.S. will ignore all that and say, no, this is Russia. See, it's Russia again. Russia, Russia, Russia. Therefore, Russia must be attacked, and therefore, Iran must be attacked. What did Lindsey Graham say 2 days ago? That if Hezbollah attacks Israel, then the U.S. needs to attack Iran? Remember that? What's that? Where's that coming from? That's because Lindsey Graham is a neocon warmonger that wants to get us into World War III. And there's a bunch of people like that in Congress and in the Senate, in his case, who want us to go to war because they think that's the answer to everything, is to bomb more countries and print more dollars and threaten and coerce and bully the world. And they think that if they could just get Russia involved in a two-front war, maybe they could drain Russia of its resources and defeat it in Ukraine. Well, the truth is that it's America that's being drawn into a two-front war, Ukraine and Israel. And it's America that has run out of munitions. It's America that no longer has a military that is capable of projecting sufficient power to rule the world anymore, which we found out in Afghanistan, by the way. And no surprise that Hamas terrorists are using weapons and ammunition that were left behind by the United States military in Afghanistan, in Kabul. So the U.S. military armed Hamas. And of course, Hamas, I think Ron Paul said this, Hamas is ISIS, and ISIS is a creation of the CIA. Right? It's the deep intelligence services that have been running every sector of this operation, except they don't control Iran, they don't control Russia, they don't control Turkey, they don't control China. But they do control ISIS. They provided weapons and funding to ISIS. I mean, they created, in essence, Hamas as well. The American CIA radicalized Palestinians to help create Hamas in order to engineer exactly this situation that we are dealing with right now. And the media goes along with all the lies to put out a completely false narrative and to try to justify us going into a world war where elections can be canceled, where your civil rights can be suspended, and where this totalitarian regime of demonic neocons can stay in power even longer. The Pentagon, by the way, has put out a statement warning Iran and Hezbollah against joining this conflict. Isn't that interesting? They said that Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC, should think twice before joining the war. And this is from the Pentagon. Iran-backed adversaries like Lebanese Hezbollah should not question the commitment of the U.S. government to support the defense of Israel. But of course, Erdogan from Turkey said that the U.S. should think twice about joining the war and supporting Israel because Turkey supports Palestine. You see where this is going? And the Wall Street Journal says now, by the way, a second aircraft carrier may be deployed by the United States to join the Israeli battle. Right now they have the USS Ford. It's accompanied by the guided missile cruiser USS Normandy and four guided missile destroyers. And they're saying that, of course, the Ford is capable of long-range strikes, which it is. Meanwhile, Joe Biden refuses to freeze the $6 billion that was unlocked for Iran. Because, of course, the Biden administration supports any country that will destroy America and Israel. So they gave money to Iran. Iran took money and gave it to Hezbollah. And not this particular $6 billion, but money that Obama gave them. Because Obama is a Muslim and also wants to see America and Israel destroyed, as we talked about previously. So Joe Biden sends the Navy to launch missiles against Hamas while sending billions of dollars to Iran to fund Hezbollah and Hamas. I mean, you see, they're running both sides of this, while also U.S. intelligence influences Israeli intelligence to stage this attack as a kind of 9/11 false flag event. This is a Truman Show. This is all being run by the CIA and Mossad. It's 100% scripted events. They're real, mind you. These people have really died. 1,000 Israelis, at least, are dead, and many hundreds of Hamas militants. They're dead. The deaths are real. The events are scripted. And it's scripted in order to achieve a global expansion of war that will ensnare Iran and Russia. That's what this is designed to do. That's what Martin Armstrong is about to share with you in our interview. Now, Israel has called up, I believe, 300,000 reservists, and they have the potential to call up another maybe 150,000 more. They could eventually end up with close to 500,000 soldiers. And by the way, the Israeli economy is now completely disrupted because every man, every young man is now has to put on a uniform and jump into a tank or, you know, join the military. And they're going to be waging a battle in the streets of Gaza any moment now. Now, Turkey has right now 350,000 active military personnel. and another nearly 400,000 reservists. And Turkey's population is 81 million. So Turkey can raise, what, 750,000 soldiers? And they also have naval forces, air forces, and considerable land forces, i.e. Tanks, for example. Let's see, 2,622 tanks, according to forces.net. Nearly 9,000 armored fighting vehicles, 1,200 self-propelled guns, 1,200 pieces of towed artillery, and 438 multiple launch rocket systems. Okay, this dwarfs the entire Israeli military. I mean, this Israel's numbers are a fraction of just Turkey's numbers. That doesn't count Syria and Iran and, you know, Russian forces potentially. So Israel is outmanned, outgunned, and Israel is surrounded. So if Israel does something that invokes Turkey, a land war from Turkey, it's difficult to see how Israel survives, not to mention a combined multi-front war with Turkey plus Syria, Iranian forces, Iran's militia units in Syria, plus Hezbollah in Lebanon, plus Gaza, and the Palestinian uprising, plus the West Bank, and whoever comes out of Jordan. I mean, Israel cannot survive that. You understand that. I hope you do. Israel cannot survive. If these countries decide to wipe Israel from the map, then Israel will not survive. Even with the United States military there, because the U.S. military, yes, they can launch missiles, yes, they can gather intelligence, but in terms of putting boots on the ground, the U.S. military is impotent. There's nothing they can do that matters. They just proved it in Afghanistan, and they're also proving it in Ukraine. All the U.S. military forces and tanks and artillery and everything hasn't stopped Russia, has it? The so-called counteroffensive by Ukraine that was designed to push back Russia, complete failure. That was led by the U.S., that was led by NATO forces, and it did not work. So don't think for a minute that the U.S. has any capability of doing anything other than just launching missiles and bombs and taking satellite photos and things like that. That's all they're going to be able to do there. If they put boots on the ground, then they invite Turkey, Iran, Syria, Russia to come in, and the United States gets, at least its forces get demolished, and Israel gets overrun and destroyed. You see what's at stake here? You see the dynamics here? The very existence of Israel is now in question. And a lot of this depends on what Israel decides to do. Now, let's shift gears into another disturbing development in all of this. And this story comes from humanevents.com. Get a load of this. Exclusive. Israel will not allow Gaza to self-rule after Hamas attack. What? From the story, Hamas has promised to execute hostages on television, right? Strategic bombing by Israel against targets, Hamas targets, apparently. Anyway, the story goes on, and it includes a podcast from Jack Posobiec that apparently goes into more detail about this. But the story itself doesn't give details about what is meant by Israel will not allow Gaza to self-rule. So allow me to discuss this just based on what we know so far. If Israel is going to say that Gaza, I assume that means the entire Gaza Strip, that Gaza will not be allowed to self-rule, that means that Israel plans to install a police state in Gaza to police the Palestinian people who will not have any rights of representation. Think about that. So if you are not allowed to, quote, self-rule, it means that you are a slave state. I mean, you're a subject to the nation that is ruling over you. And how will Israel rule over Gaza? Through force. They will shoot you. They will kill you. They will bomb you. They will kidnap you. They will torture you. Whatever is necessary, because apparently now there are no rules. Because of the horrors of Hamas, now there are no rules whatsoever. So is Israel really saying that they're going to roll into Gaza and occupy it and run it as a prison camp, and that all Palestinians, all two plus million Palestinians who live there are now prisoners who have no rights? They have no representation. They are not allowed to run their own court system. They are not allowed to speak, no doubt, because, of course, Israeli is all about censorship, just as the U.S. regime is. This is the complete enslavement of an entire ethnic population of millions of people. And this, according to Human Events, this is what Israel is now moving towards doing. So they're going to roll into Gaza with tanks and soldiers. They're going to just execute anyone that I guess they think might be Hamas, and maybe kill a bunch of other people, who knows. And then they're going to enslave and subjugate the entire population of Gaza. How is this acceptable to anyone in the West? And by the way, didn't the British try this with India before? Yeah, how did that work out for the British Empire and the British pound? Oh, wait, nobody uses the British pound anymore for global trade. The pound is history. Everything used to be in the British pound, not anymore. Oh, the British used to have the world's most powerful navy. What is it now? Like one aircraft carrier, the Queen Elizabeth, that sometimes works. I mean, the United Kingdom, the British Empire, is no more. But they thought they could subjugate an entire ethnic group of people. And of course, you know, Gandhi and others had something to say about that. But Israel now thinks that they can enslave and imprison 2 million Palestinians. For all of us who want peace in the region, I ask you, is this a pathway to peace? Imprisoning those with whom you disagree. Imprisoning them. Giant prison camp. Is that a pathway to peace? Or would that invoke resentment? I'm just curious. What do you think? Would it invoke resentment? Would it become a factory for the recruitment of more terrorists? Would Hamas have a very easy time recruiting more people into Hamas if they were all living under the totalitarian rule of Israel? And I think the answer is obvious. The answer is yes. So what Israel is proposing here, it seems, is to actually turn Gaza into a Hamas terrorist recruitment factory to churn out more Hamas. Because, of course, you have to keep the emergency going in order to have police control powers over the entire region. Israel knows that. The United States knows that. This is the common tactic of, well, governments everywhere, is create a big emergency and then use it to seize power and enslave the people. And anyone who resists, you call them terrorists and you shoot them. And anyone who speaks out, you call them terrorists and you censor them. You see? So every action that Israel appears to be on the track of taking here seems to be designed to escalate this and to create more terror, more conflict, and more war, an even wider war with other nations, rather than moving toward peace. And that is not a coincidence, because U.S. intelligence and Israeli intelligence are behind this, and they need war. They need war to stay in power. The neocons, the Netanyahus of the world, they need war, they need a big emergency, and they need to enslave their people. Notice that Israel is only, quote, allowing their own citizens to have guns after 1,000 of them were murdered and slaughtered by Hamas because they were disarmed. Oh, suddenly now it's okay to have guns. Now the Israeli government is, in a mad panic to hand out weapons to Israeli militia groups. Just as the West was in a hurry to hand out weapons to Ukraine once Russia attacked, oh, all of a sudden weapons are great, but no guns for Americans, you see. Guns are bad for Americans, but suddenly guns are great for Israelis and great for Ukrainians because they need to protect themselves. But not Americans. No. Bad. I actually have a headline on that from the Times of Israel. Ben Gvir's ministry to buy 10,000 guns for civilian security teams. Yeah, also known as militias, by the way. Specifically those in towns close to the borders, as well as mixed Jewish-Arab cities and West Bank settlements. So 4,000 assault rifles have already been bought from an Israeli manufacturer, probably IWI, I would imagine, and will be distributed immediately. Helmets and bulletproof vests have also been acquired and will be distributed along with assault rifles. First of all, I denounce their use of the term assault rifle. Obviously, they intend these rifles to be defensive rifles, correct? I mean, they're just semi-automatic rifles, like, or maybe they're Tavors. I have a Tavor made in Israel. It's a bullpup rifle. It's interesting. I still prefer the AR, by the way. But maybe they're Tavors. Who knows? Maybe whatever they are, they're handing out 10,000 rifles to the people of Israel. Now, all of a sudden, that's okay. Yep, they're arming the militias. And why are they arming the militias? Because, of course, Israel is about to engage in actions against Gaza that will likely result in Israel being attacked by other nations. And Israel may not survive this, as I said earlier, so of course they want a rifle in the hand of every Israeli citizen, men, women, and teenagers, and elderly, you know, grandma with a gun, make sure she's got her magazines topped off, because, you know, Hamas is on the way. This is what Israel is doing now. So the United Nations Human Rights Chief Volker Turk condemned Israel's siege of the Gaza Strip and said that it is banned under international law. In other words, Israel is carrying out war crimes. Turk said in a statement, "International humanitarian law is clear. The obligation to take constant care to spare the civilian population and civilian objects remains applicable throughout the attacks." Goes on to say, quote, "The principles of distinction and the prohibition of indiscriminate or disproportionate attacks are paramount." On the 9th of October, Israeli authorities ordered a full siege of Gaza, shutting off electricity, water, food, and fuel supplies. This risks seriously compounding the already dire human rights and humanitarian situation in Gaza, including the capacity of medical facilities to operate, especially in light of increasing number of injured people. It's interesting. It's almost like they heard my podcast yesterday. I mean, I can't believe I'm actually agreeing with the United Nations on something here, but on this point, they are correct. Quote, "The imposition of sieges that endanger the lives of civilian by depriving them of goods essential for their survival is prohibited under international humanitarian law." Thus, again, according to the United Nations, Israel is currently engaged in war crimes. These are atrocities against civilians. So where's the outrage in the corporate media? How can the U.S. military support these war criminals who are violating fundamental human rights rules of war under the United Nations? But truth be told, the Israeli government has been carrying out crimes against Palestinian people for generations. And that's been covered up the entire time, so I guess they figured they can continue to cover it up. That's exactly what's going on. So for me personally, I cannot side with a nation that is engaged in war crimes against innocent civilian populations. And in fact, I will condemn those actions. No matter what side it's on, I condemn those actions. Just as I condemn Hamas for their actions. Absolutely abhorrent. But what Israel is doing is also, it is a crime against humanity. Let me read some of this from the Gateway Pundit. Gaza crisis escalates. Israel cuts off essentials. Egypt closes exit and 2 million people are trapped. This is by Benjamin Wetmore. Israeli President Benjamin Netanyahu has asked the 2 million people in the Gaza Strip to leave now, But the problem is that they have nowhere to go, because even though Netanyahu said he plans to turn the Gaza Strip to rubble, and he says that these people will pay, quote, an unprecedented price, well, the checkpoints between Israel and Gaza have been closed, and the exit to Egypt has also been closed because Israel bombed it. So Netanyahu says, we will turn them into rubble, that wicked city. He's talking about Gaza. He says, leave now because we will operate forcefully everywhere. And then they bomb the exits so no one can leave. And then they cut off all the essentials necessary for living. I mean, what do you call this? Again, war crimes. War crimes. You're going to trap 2 million civilians and then slaughter them. And the corporate media in America and Israel is going to cover it all up. That's exactly what's going to happen. Remember that the Gaza Strip is the third most densely populated area in the world, and there are 2+ million people there. And they are beginning to die right now because of the siege that has been put in place by Israel. In response to all of this, as the Epoch Times is reporting, Hamas leader says Iran, Lebanese Hezbollah are ready to join the battle in Gaza. See how quickly this is escalating? From the story, a senior leader for the Hamas terror group that mounted the bloody incursion into Israel claimed that Iran's Islamic regime and Lebanese Hezbollah played no role in the attack, but insists that they're both ready to join the battle if Israel retaliates forcefully. See, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is key to understand. If Israel carries out a genocidal slaughter against the Palestinians, then Hezbollah will attack from the north, Iran will attack from the east, Syria will attack, and so on. This is what I'm warning about. Ali Barakeh, a member of Hamas's exiled leadership, made these remarks in an interview with the Associated Press in his office in Beirut of Lebanon, of course. He said that since 2014, the Gaza war there, Hamas has been making its own rockets and training its own combatants, and that the Lebanese Hezbollah is not involved in Hamas. He said that only a small handful of Hamas commanders knew detailed plans for the incursion into Israel, which saw hundreds of Israelis massacred in cold blood. The Hamas leader, Barakeh, claimed in his interview with the AP that his organization was surprised by its fighters' ability to penetrate Israeli defenses. Yeah, because, of course, the IDF was ordered to stand down. While insisting that no Iranian security officials nor Lebanese Hezbollah were involved, Iran said through its UN mission the following, quote, we emphatically stand in unflinching, this is from Iran again, support of Palestine. However, we are not involved in Palestine's response as it is taken solely by Palestine itself. And then you have Antony Blinken basically saying, well, Iran is guilty no matter what. And same thing with Lindsey Graham, and calls for attacking Iran in the United States. So what's the summary of all this? Well, the Israeli government allowed this attack to happen. They stood down their forces, obviously, allowed it to happen. So the Israeli government is complicit in the murder of its citizens. The Israeli government is carrying out war crimes against innocent civilians in Gaza. Israel has bombed the exit and has promised to turn Gaza into rubble, and is clearly intending on carrying out acts of genocidal atrocities that could murder potentially hundreds of thousands of Palestinians. And of course, the press in Israel and the press in the United States is lying about all this and covering up the truth about what's happening and claiming that this was a surprise. That, I mean, think about the contradiction here, that they're saying that the Israeli military is so weak and unprepared that they can be surprised and overrun by a few hundred Hamas militants moving in very slow parachute craft that barely fly. But then we're told that the Israeli military is so strong that they're going to conquer and turn Gaza to rubble and rule it as a police state territory, and that the Palestinian people will never be allowed to have any freedom, any representation, or any voice ever again. That's what we're being told. These two ideas are completely contradictory. We're being lied to, as usual. And let me point out another disturbing similarity in all of this. Just as the Israeli government disarmed its own civilians and then ordered the IDF to stand down to allow Hamas to come in and slaughter innocent Israeli civilians. In the United States, the governors, the mayors, they defund police. They defund police and then they let criminals loose on the streets to escalate the violence while calling for gun control to take away guns from the American people, which they've done in states like California and cities like New York City and Chicago and so on. It's the same thing. What Israel is doing and what the U.S. are doing, the governments are exactly the same thing. Disarm the people and then unleash violence against them and then claim an emergency and government powers and claim, you know, in your righteous vengeance against the enemies of whatever, that people are going to have to give up more of their liberty, more of their freedom, because the government has to have absolute power to kill anybody it wants at any time for any reason. That's what we're seeing. That's the entire argument now of Israel, is that there shall be no diplomacy, no negotiations, no hesitation. We're just going to kill everybody we want to kill, and there's nothing you can do about it. When have we seen this before in history? Oh, yeah. It was called the Third Reich. These are the tactics of totalitarians. And if you are a person of principle, as I am, then you denounce these tactics no matter who is invoking them. Whether it's Nazis or Americans or communist Chinese or Stalinists or Israelis, whoever is invoking such tactics of indiscriminate a mass slaughter of innocent civilians as part of an ethnic group, that entity that is doing that is evil. And they must be called out and they must be denounced publicly. And it doesn't mean, let me be clear, it doesn't mean that you support Hamas just because you oppose Israel's tactics of genocide against Palestinians. What Hamas did is, it's indefensible. It's extreme violence, and it should be condemned globally. But what Israel is now doing in retaliation should also be condemned by every rational thinking person who believes in humanity and believes in the rule of law. But all we get is silence. Now, we're about to go to the interview with Martin Armstrong, and he explains that we're all living under the global dominion of dangerous neocons that need war in order to maintain power and control. And so they start wars. They create crisis. They weaponize it. Shock doctrine. This is what they do. And they recruit whatever terrorists are necessary, or they put on costumes and play terrorists themselves, like FBI agents have done with Nazi groups in America, Charlottesville, and whatever. Feds dressed up as Nazis. They can put on quite a show. It's all theater. And by the way, let me put this out there. I would really like to interview an historian who has a deep understanding of the history of Israel, 1948 onward, and of course, Palestine and the conflicts and the culture wars, the territory wars. I would really love to interview an expert. Not an expert biased on one side or the other. I want an expert who has a solid grasp of the history of what happened. And so if you have any suggestions on that, please contact us. You can email situationupdate@protonmail.com. And we'd love your suggestions on who might be a good candidate for that interview. Because frankly, these events that are happening right now almost beg us to study more history of Israel, its formation, how it came to be, changes in territorial control over time, the nature of the conflicts, and the grievances of the Palestinian people, We need to understand history, or we are doomed to repeat it. And I think we all need a better education about this history. And knowledge is the only pathway to peace. And that's why Israel and the United States promote so much censorship and disinformation themselves, because they don't want people to be informed. If knowledge sets people free, then it is ignorance and social engineering that enslaves people. And that's what the Israeli and U.S. governments push, is ignorance, forced narratives, censorship, total control over what you're allowed to say or speak or hear or see. And by the way, here, take some jabs also at the same time. You just hurry up and die because your government doesn't really like you. Yeah, there's a sobering truth. Okay, we're going to jump into the interview with Martin Armstrong. A quick plug for our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, which provides satellite backup communications for people of all ethnicities, by the way, and civilians, and also some military operators who are using their technology to try to create more peace in the world, if that's possible. We advocate only the peaceful use of technologies. We advocate peace and abundance for all of humanity, no matter where you come from, no matter what your skin color, no matter what your religion, no matter what your background. We advocate peace and abundance. And backup communications are critical during these times of extreme chaos. So visit Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com. And get ready for an information-packed interview with Martin Armstrong. He's going to blow your mind with what he's about to share with you. And prepare for many years of dark days ahead, followed by an emergence of, well, kind of a global revolution against the neocons, by the way. So there is something to look forward to on the other side of all of this, but many years of darkness and war await us straight ahead. So enjoy this interview with Martin Armstrong and learn from him, because I think he has a very solid analysis of where things are headed. Welcome to Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon Free Speech Video Platform. And speaking of free speech, today we have an extraordinary guest who is, at its very core, a financial analyst, but so much more, geopolitics. One of the highest IQ individuals that I know in this space, Martin Armstrong, joins us from Armstrong Economics, and that's his website, armstrongeconomics.com. Mr. Armstrong, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you on today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
It's my honor, sir. You do extraordinary work, and I really enjoy your short posts and your analysis of what's going on. I understand you've just posted a full report about Israel called The Next Jihad. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so that's a paid report on your website. You want to give us a kind of a breakdown of where things stand right now with Israel?
Well, we have pretty renowned sources. And effectively, this is the next World Trade Center fiasco. I mean, our sources were saying that even people, troops that were at the border were pulled away 2 days in advance and reassigned. I can tell you that Assad took his children to Israel and parked them there ahead of this. To China. And it's just, look, they needed this war. And this is what it's really all about. They knew this was coming and they allowed it to happen. The same thing with 9/11. It's just the way it is.
Now, since this has happened, I agree with your assessment, by the way. I mean, the narrative that this was, quote, an intelligence failure is absurd. Israel has extraordinarily capable intelligence. They would have known, they did know, but they had to back down. But I notice in the aftermath of this now, all the gloves are off. There's no resistance against any decision that the government wants to make, no matter how radical or vengeance-oriented it might be. Where do you think this is going?
Well, this was actually intended to open a second front against Russia. They believe that Russia is involved with Syria, Iran, even Hamas. They're saying some of the most intelligent sophisticated equipment, actually, they're saying, oh, it really came from Russia. I mean, our sources were talking about, you know, the amount of weapons that Biden left behind in Afghanistan will fund the entire war. I mean, this whole thing is just one giant joke. I mean, it's the same thing with Ukraine. I mean, it was the U.S. that instigated Kiev to attack the Donbass, and that was back in 2014.
Right.
The very people that were caught in Syria gassing Syrians to try and blame Assad, they've been involved in Ukraine. I mean, this has been about creating war. And in all honesty, what's really happening here is the global financial system is imploding.
Yes.
That's why they need, digital currencies, all this sort of thing. They've been borrowing for since World War II with no intention of ever paying anything back. And I've been in meetings for 40 years warning them this is not going to survive.
Yes.
And here you have these neocons that have just never gotten over the fact that the Cold War, and communism actually failed by itself.
What do you make of the fact, and you already mentioned Russia, but what about the fact that Barack Obama, of course, laundered billions of dollars, gave it to Iran, that also enabled Iran to essentially relaunch its nuclear weapons development program, and then Joe Biden unleashes another $6 billion just recently. And then, on top of that, you have the other, the Democrat Socialists in America, some members of Congress now celebrating Hamas. It seems like certainly the Democrats, at least Obama and Joe Biden, were funding Iran, which is funding Hamas and Hezbollah and others. Is that accurate?
Well, yes. I mean, what you have to understand is that under the pretense of liberalism, it's really fascism. What is fascism? Fascism is really when government is taking control of the private sector. That's really what fascism truly is. All right. They direct everything, what you're going to manufacture, how much, where it's going to go, etc. I mean, this is basically what they're getting involved in. And we've been moving down this direction with cancel culture and all this sort of thing. The media is just the cheerleaders for World War III. It's astonishing.
But, it really is. Yeah.
Nobody seems to care where this is going.
And this could go nuclear pretty quickly, either with Russia, but also with Israel. In fact, I want to ask you, it looks like, I mean, we're recording this on October 10th, and it looks like Israel's attack on ground invasion of Gaza is imminent. And apparently from Netanyahu and others, Gallant, the defense minister, they are talking as if they intend to eradicate 2 million Palestinian civilians in Gaza. Mm-hmm. And they've cut off their food, their water, their electricity, and their fuel, which is a violation of UN, by the way, war conventions. And they're talking like they're about to engage in eradication. Are they out of their minds? Are they miscalculating? Or what's going on?
There is a group we call the neocons, and they're on both sides, Republican, Democrat, and they flip sides, in all honesty. I knew Bill Kristol. He was chief of staff for Quayle in the Bush White House, and now he's advising Democrats.
Yeah.
Bill had written a book to justify going into Iraq. I believe, after knowing some of these people personally, that when Khrushchev said, "We will bury you," they decided they were going to attack and bring democracy to the world. But their version of democracy is really totalitarianism.
Yes.
That aside from the point is that communism failed, and they refuse to accept that. All right. So their view is, oh, if we go into Iraq, the Iraq people will cheer and they'll get a ticker tape parade. This is what they tell themselves. It has never happened once. You can Google Tony Blair's apology, saying we thought, you know, we were going to save people when they got worse for them. This is the way it is. They really think if they can go in and take out Putin, that the Russian people will cheer, and it's not going to happen.
I know, but they live in this bubble. The neocons, they live in this bubble of their own delusions, and then they read each other's op-eds and they think it's all true, but they're so segmented from reality. Like you said, they thought Russian people would cheer, you know, Putin being taken out. Not at all. Putin is more popular than ever.
And I mean, I was in the middle of all of that before. What they were actually blackmailing Yeltsin and trying to stick in Barishnovsky back in the 2000 Russian election. And they were rigging the Russian elections. And that's why Hillary blamed Putin, basically. But when Yeltsin realized that he was being set up, and he turned to Putin. And Putin was not a politician. And he basically was not an oligarch. And so the people actually cheered him because they were, you know, they were the old hardline communist people, which Putin was not. Putin realized that the people would never tolerate going back to communism. And he wasn't an oligarch like Barishnovsky and that crew. So, you know, that's why his popularity soared over 70%. And, you know, the neocons don't want to admit that, but they're the ones that created Putin.
Yeah.
And by trying to blackmail Yeltsin, Yeltsin turned to Putin at the last minute and said, here, protect Russia.
It seems like everything the neocons try to do actually backfires on themselves. And here's another example I want to ask you about. America sent an extraordinary amount of munitions to Ukraine over the last year and a half, including, by the way, raiding America's munition stockpiles in Israel and sending hundreds of thousands of 155 artillery shells to Ukraine, depleting Israel's stockpiles and depleting America's stockpiles. And also, of course, as you're aware, the United Kingdom, its stockpiles are, quote, the bottom of the barrel. They don't have any munitions left. Now we have potentially a new war front opening in Israel. The United States has said it's going to assist at least with a naval presence. But how can the West, which no longer really manufactures much artillery, how can the West fight now two wars at the same time, not to mention China? It could be three.
Four.
What's
because
the four?
You're looking at North Korea and you're also looking at Taiwan.
There you go. So this is insanity, is it not?
Yeah, look, Victoria Nuland, who they often call the queen of neocons, if you actually do a little bit of digging, you'll see that her family is Ukrainian. I mean, there's such a conflict of interest in all this stuff. Her sister-in-law is the one that puts out all the propaganda against Russia, and they call themselves the Institute for the Study of War.
Right.
Not peace, but war. That's all they ever want. And it's just, I don't know why a lot of people, I think even the New York Times had written about this family, that they're always involved in all this stuff, and they're constantly pushing for war.
They are.
All the time. I mean, I think it was Ron Paul that basically came out and said these neocons have been waging wars for 30-some years and haven't won a single one yet.
Yeah.
McNamara, you can Google that also. Before he died, he basically did a video and said, gee, I'm very sorry, we were wrong in Vietnam. We thought the Russians were involved and we had it all wrong.
Well, the neocons are clearly, they have this strange combination of arrogance and incompetence. Right. They think they know everything, but they're always wrong. For example, shutting off Russia from SWIFT. They thought that would destroy the Russian economy. Had the opposite effect, right? And now the world is moving against the dollar.
Yeah, look, these people have no interest in the economy whatsoever. And like I said, I know some of them, and it's pathetic. It really is pathetic. Once you with SWIFT, when Russia went into Crimea, Obama went to SWIFT and wanted to have Russia taken out. And SWIFT said, no, you're not going to turn this into a political tool. So what did they do? They replaced the head of SWIFT in 2019, and he does whatever he's told.
Yeah.
So now you have the world economy divided in half. We're never going back to where it was. And these sanctions against Russia were basically a warning signal to everybody else. Hey, if you don't play ball with the United States, we'll do this to you. They actually came out and were threatening China. You provide arms and we'll cut you out. So now China has its system and it's building up its own, old Silk Road. I mean,
Right, right. And we've seen
crazy, the whole thing. Plus, China was the largest holder of U.S. debt. They've been selling billions every month. So what do you do? I mean, do you go to them and say, gee, can you buy another $100 billion, please, so we can buy some missiles to shoot at you? I mean, it doesn't even make sense anymore.
Well, I think one of the questions a lot of people have is, how long can this spiral of debt continue when you have 10-year treasuries creeping up near 5%? And you have the costs of servicing the national debt getting, approaching $1.5 or $2 trillion a year, and fewer countries willing to buy U.S. debt. Where does this end? How long can this go?
Not real long, actually. It starts getting pretty bad after 24. But what's important to understand here is that it's out of control of the Federal Reserve. I know a lot of people are always looking at the Fed and blaming the Fed, whatever. When Powell testified, the last thing he says, and international considerations, all right? He's basically telling them, we have no control over really inflation, which is the number one cause is war. Right. And, you're bashing China not buying the debt, means that interest rates will go up if the Fed wants them up or not.
Yes. So
this is out of control of the central banks at this stage. And interest rates are going higher. There's no question about it. And the Fed can't even stop it.
Well, but I'm so happy to learn that Biden, they printed $4 billion to support LGBT activism around the world with more printed money. I mean, gee, that's a great use. It seems like we're being run off a cliff by people who are completely blind, but mad with power. They're in charge, they think, and they've weaponized everything. They've weaponized SWIFT. They've weaponized the dollar. They've weaponized even the exporting of culture around the world. And they're insane people. But we're all going to suffer, aren't we? I mean, there's no way we can avoid this collision with reality that's going to happen.
Yeah, no, look, it's even what they have done to Trump. We have offices around the world. Outside the United States, everybody's saying, what is going on? You people have become like Guatemala.
Yeah.
They think that going after Trump, they can stop him. And because Trump now knows the game, and he was the one that fired a lot of neocons. So this is all about making sure that he does not get anywhere close. In all honesty, I would not put it past them that if he actually did win, they'd assassinate him before his hand ever hit the book. This is about their power. And that's what really is going on here. And it is very, very serious at this stage in the game. Because these people are only looking at the military power. They're not looking whatsoever at economics. What would the economy do? They could care less. They really think that they can bring on this war afterwards. You come in with the CBDC stuff, and you basically default on all the debt, and you start over again with Bretton Woods, version two. And the central bank digital currencies, the real purpose of this, and as I've said, I've had discussions about this. They think that effectively, by eliminating physical cash, that they will increase their taxation by 35%. And if you look at Biden's current budgets and proposals, he's looking to raise taxes by $7 trillion.
Wow.
I mean, they look at us as basically the great unwashed. We're scum. You hired that 16-year-old girl next door to watch the kids while you and your wife went out. Where's her taxes? What did you give her? You know, it's, you know, you found a $100 bill in a parking lot. Where's our 50%? This is the way they look at us. We are the enemy. And people have to understand that they could care less about helping you whatsoever. Liberalism is not about equality or anything else. It's about them getting more power.
Clearly.
That's what it's about.
Clearly. And if they want war, it seems like they have the means to engineer it. Now, do you think that the United States pressured Israel to allow this 9/11 style attack by Hamas, or that Israel made the decision itself?
No, I think it definitely was coordinated. I mean, that's for sure. Did the U.S. tell them to do it? That's hard to say. That would be speculation. But they're clearly deeply involved in this.
Okay.
And the fact that some Americans were now taken as hostages, that will be the excuse for Biden to even escalate more. And they're hoping, really, that this will drag Russia into another front. And this is what this is all about. They really think that they can take down Russia. But in the meantime, tell China and North Korea, oh, please wait for your turn. You know?
Wow. But it's
insane.
It's a pipe dream to think that this is going to take down Russia, because there are plenty of other countries that would gladly go to bat for Palestine first, including Turkey and Iran. And aren't they risking a war with Hezbollah and Turkey and Syria and Iran all at the same time? And Russia might not even be part of it.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, the whole thing is, look, you have a deep-seated problem of religion there as well, Sunni versus Shiite. And Iran would love nothing more than to wipe out basically Saudi Arabia. So you have a religious problem there. You have this whole thing that has been instigated. There's no way that Hamas could muster up 1,000 people to launch by, you know, air, sea, and ground. And nobody knew.
Right.
I mean, it's absolute nonsense. That's too many people. All right. You wouldn't know. Maybe one guy coming sneaking across the border, you know, or maybe three. But 1,000 people? No way. So, I mean, never seen gliders. You know, come on. This is.
Yeah.
And the gliders were used before, you know, to cross the Lebanon border. So it's not like it was something completely, you know, unknown.
Yeah, exactly. Now, talk to us about, and let me bring attention to your website again, armstrongeconomics.com, and you have Socrates there. I want to ask you about Socrates and some of the more recent analyses, but talk to us about the financial implications. Where does this push oil in a year, for example, depending on the escalation? But what about gold and silver? We've already seen some moves in gold and oil. Is it just the beginning of what's to come?
Yes. I mean, oil, despite the climate change, people, our computers been projecting We're looking at going into highs probably by 2027. And it could reach even like the 200 area plus. But you take the whole climate change agenda too. You know, these people are totally insane. You know, trying to shut down fossil fuels, all right, there's no way you can flip the global economy into this sort of a thing so fast.
Right.
You're talking about massive increases in the cost of everything. That's inflation. And you're talking about, you know, undermining the world economy, which they've already done. They've started with the Russian sanctions. So it looks, our computer basically says that all the forms of government we have today are basically what we call Republican. So they're representative. They say we live in a democracy. That's absolute nonsense. Do we get to vote? Do we go to war against Russia? Yes or no? We're never asked that question. Should we raise your taxes? Yes or no? We're not asked that question. They do whatever they want to do. And they stand up and they can basically say whatever they want to get elected. I mean, I've worked intensely with Washington. And people don't realize, I mean, I could run for office and say, vote for me, I'll give you X, Y, Z, whatever. Then I get there and they go, that's very nice. This is how you will vote. you know, there is no independent. You cannot stand up on the floor of the House and make a proposal. All proposals have to go through committees. And if you don't play nice, you're not getting on a committee.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's just simple. It's so rigged. There we are nowhere close to a democracy whatsoever.
Well, that brings in the
computer showing the collapse of Republican forms of government. By, you know, I would say by the end of this whole fiasco, you're looking at it by going into 2032.
So what you're saying is that people all over the Western world are going to find themselves living under fascist totalitarian dictatorships?
Pretty much. And that's what finally gets people off their couches and stop watching the TV and say enough is enough. We go through these cycles basically roughly once every, you know, 300 and some odd years. The last time everybody got up, we overthrew monarchy. And then, you know, you created republicanism because of the fake news of Cicero back then. But they thought, oh, you know, republicanism was good. And it wasn't. It was one of the most corrupt forms of government, period. But so this time it's going to be, you know, Republican forms of government that do not address the people whatsoever. I mean, you can look at Klaus Schwab's 8 points, and in his 8 points for 2030 is the end of democracy.
Yeah.
You can look on our site. We posted a video from 2016 by the London Financial Times. And when Trump was elected, they went into a state of panic because suddenly they thought, oh, my God, people could actually vote us out of power. And that started this whole WEF nonsense. And
extreme censorship, too.
Yes, yeah, censorship, everything. And suddenly democracy became populism, evil populism. People are too stupid to know what they really voted for.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at Trump. Trump wins every debate and he's not even there.
That's true. Now, speaking of Trump, I want to ask you what's your take on RFK Jr. because he just announced independent. He's finally decided to leave the totally corrupt, rigged Democrat Party. That's a relief. But as an independent, does he, you know, what can he accomplish? And also then, does Trump get the nomination on the GOP side, or is there some trick they can pull to try to stop him?
Oh, they're going to do everything they possibly can to stop him. There's no question about that. And RFK at least finally realized that the game is rigged. There's no possible way they were going to allow him to be on their ticket. So moving independent, I seriously question whether or not, you know, our computer, even 10 years ago, had forecast that the 2024 election is not going to be well accepted, period. I don't think, regardless of who wins, nobody's going to believe it. It's gotten that bad. It's just complete nonsense. And I mean, look, you know, the one person on elections that probably told the truth was Joseph Stalin. He says, doesn't matter who you vote for, it's who counts that makes the decision.
Well, what does that mean? I think most Americans that are aware, of course, agree with you. The rigging of the vote counting is off the charts insane. I mean, it's pretty clear to me, Democrats couldn't win any election from actual votes, organic votes from real people, because their policies are so horrific. But what's the practical ramifications here for America? I mean, does the United States of America survive very much longer, or are we looking at secession? Are we looking at revolts? Are we looking at domestic war, uprisings? What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, United States will break up. I mean, there's, I mean, just compare Florida to California. It's like two separate countries, you know. The problem we have is that politics on a global scale has become so polarized. I mean, just look at the elections in Bavaria. You know, the AfD basically won overwhelmingly. And they've been saying, oh, they're right wing, the far right, all this kind of nonsense. They won. You know, people are starting to reject this green agenda, the left agenda. And the problem we have is that civilization functions when everybody benefits. It does not function when one side says, well, now we're in power and we're going to force you to do what we want you to do.
Right.
That is not democracy. It's not civilization. And then you're only causing the other side to retaliate when they get in. So then it becomes, you know, a war, effectively.
But speaking of war, it, especially with the climate hoax, the climate cultism, it appears that the governments are at war against their own people. I mean, it's clear they are, because they're trying to shut down the food and the farms and the economies, combustion engines, transportation, you name it, but all under the label of, oh, we have to save the planet somehow. And now, I mean, they're, you know, Bill Gates is buying up millions of acres of trees to cut them down to save the planet. And then the government's giving grants to California to plant trees to save the planet. It's become comedy, a clown show of insanity at this point.
You know, then you have Bill Gates saying he wants to put particles in the atmosphere to block the sun.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I mean, he released billions of mosquitoes in Florida, and I never had a problem with mosquitoes, and now I have to have machines out there to kill them. You know, I mean, it's, I don't know. I think he is, you know, a lot of people call him the Gates from Hell. I mean, you take him, you take Soros, you take Schwab. I don't know what it is, if it's money or power that have driven these people completely insane or what, but I don't agree with anything they have to say or do.
Let me give another example, get your reaction to this, and this is going to be contentious, but the number of Israelis that were killed by Hamas in that surprise attack, technically, you know, statistically, pale in comparison to the number of Israelis killed by the Israeli government using vaccines. I mean, think about that. It's a bioweapon pushed on your own population by your own government as kind of an act of terrorism against your own people. And same thing in the U.S., same thing in Canada. It's like,
well, just they're at war. In Bavaria, there was a they had a marathon, and a kid who was 25 years old who had just been recently vaccinated died of a heart attack.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, we're seeing that all the time.
Yes. I mean, right next door to me, a girl was 27. She had COVID, had to get vaccinated, to go on a family cruise. And the very next day, they took her out of here in an ambulance. She almost died from the heart problems as well.
Yes.
It's corruption. All right. You have these politicians have been paid. And that's what this is all about. They could care less about us. They probably did not realize how bad these vaccines really were.
They rushed them into emergency use anyway without clinical trials. They didn't care.
Yeah. I mean, this is it's complete insanity. Would you buy a car if they said, OK, fine, General Motors, you can't sue them. And 1 in 10 cars blows up when you put the key in?
No.
You know, are right. are they going to fix it if they can never be sued? Of course not.
But it shows that these governments can miscalculate. They do all the time. And so my question to you here is Israel grossly miscalculating in its sort of vengeance powered response to what looks like, you know, an overzealous attack on Palestinian civilians, not even, you know, Hamas itself or combatants, but we're talking, you know, young children and women and elderly senior citizens who live in Gaza are going to be killed. They are being killed right now. Is it possible that Israel has grossly miscalculated the response from the Arab world that's going to come from that? Because they're not going to be able to stop some of those videos from getting out.
Yeah, you know, it's look, they think they have the United States behind them, and you have Blinken basically and Victoria Nuland. We're going to support you. Don't worry about it. We're there. It's just complete nonsense. But they think, like the rest of them, that it's all about power. They have the power, and let's exercise it and we win.
But they don't. But that's the thing. I mean, Ukraine and Russia has proven the West does not have the power they thought they had. There are Leopard 2 tanks burning on the battlefields of Ukraine, right? Taken out by Russian cheap drones. And Abrams tanks are going to be burning there soon. Western artillery can't compete with Russian artillery. Western anti-air defenses are inferior. Western ballistic missiles are ancient. I mean, the West... And the West doesn't have the industrial base to manufacture enough weapons to sustain an actual land war.
And nearly 10 million Ukrainians have fled. We had two employees there. Both are in Berlin now.
Yes.
And, you know, Zelensky is going after the EU, telling him they should be sending back everybody that's of military age. What's of military age? He was drafting kids that were 16 years old.
I agree, but my point is that the West is delusional in thinking that it can continue to project power to use coercion to get what it wants in the world. That is now reaching an end point. You're not just going to be able to bomb every country into submission. It's failing now.
They don't see it that way. That's the problem.
Yeah.
They, you know, they're sitting there, they have their finger on the buttons, and they think that they can defeat Russia. I mean, why do you want to defeat Russia? Russia's no longer communism. Neither is China.
Well, and I guess the last thing that the neocons want is abundance from trade, because abundance creates freedom. It creates options for people, right? It creates entrepreneurs. And, you know, gosh, if you trade with Russia, aluminum, fertilizer, metals, you know, all kinds of things, even technology from Russia. If you trade, then the neocons can't bomb everybody.
that's why they were trying to cut them off. They thought that they could do that and undermine their economy, and they will collapse. It's just not going to happen.
So big picture, Martin, well, what about Socrates? What are there any big hits or signals from Socrates about 2024?
Basically, it's been showing for a long time that 2024, the election, is really going to be a disaster. Nobody's going to accept it either way. It's been showing that civil unrest was supposed to start rising sharply here in 23. And then we're starting to look at more of international war developing by 25. And that's going to go into probably 27 to 28. And I seriously doubt that even the United Nations will still exist after 31.
Really?
And people are going to realize that this whole climate change has been about the, you know, making the UN the one world government.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what this has been about. You have Soros thought is open society and individual countries. I mean, these people are just, you know, honestly, you know, there's just no explanation for them. I mean, they are delusional at best. They seem to have God complexes. I mean, Soros, there, you know, I think the 60 Minutes interview of him said he didn't believe in God. So I guess he thinks he can be God and just direct how the world is supposed to really function according to his mind.
Is there any indication in your analysis of whether any conflict goes nuclear?
Well, eventually, yes. But, I mean, nuclear is not as doom and gloom as a lot of people may look at. I mean, look at the cities of Nagasaki. I mean, there's riots thriving today. You're looking at probably one of the number one targets in the United States would be Montana. That's where a lot of the international ICBMs are. And after you take out those types of targets, then you go after the financial side. So you'll take out New York, Houston, LA, Chicago. They'll look for the financial markets. But honestly, you start moving to these central bank digital currencies, it's insane. Because, I mean, I've even, you know, said to them, I said, all they have to do is basically explode a couple of bombs, basically over the United States, and you wipe out the internet.
Right, right. It doesn't even take a nuclear detonation, just an EMP weapon takes out the infrastructure.
I mean, nuclear also, you know, will have EMP as well, but just an EMP bomb. I mean, why would you create these cryptocurrencies and that can be all vanishing in the middle of a day?
You're talking about the CBDCs?
I really think that tangible money is really the best thing. Because, I mean, the rest of it, who knows?
Yeah.
At the stage, you really want to put everything in and bank on an electronic deposit?
Well, we're just about out of time. I want to be respectful of your time, but I give out your website again, armstrongeconomics.com. And Martin, the picture you're painting for us is pretty scary for a lot of people. Years of war. But the real world events that are taking place right now, I think, absolutely confirm that this phase has begun. And it's clear to all of us that these neocons in charge, like, you know, Nuland and Blinken and Sullivan and so on, gosh, if they called me and said, hey, you know, we're from the government and we're here to help, I would run as fast as I could away from them. Please, God, get these creatures away from me, because they're just walking demons and disasters on a global scale. But dark times ahead, huh?
Yes, but you have to understand there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And that's what our computer is showing is 2032.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we get to redesign government at that point.
So we have to survive 9 years.
Fathers, you know, recreated the United States after the revolution. That's what we're looking at. But you don't get there without the first, you know, 8 years of blowing it all up.
Wow.
Eventually, the average person is going to look at this and, you know, hey, you know, this climate change stuff is nuts. It's costing me twice as much to live. That's what you need to get the average person up off the couch and say, hey, this is not working. And that's what the next 8 years. Yes, in some cases, it's dark. And I mean, these people are dark individuals.
Yeah.
We just have to understand that, and it's best to understand what we're actually facing. So it's kind of like me throwing a punch at your face. And I say, here it comes. I'm going to hit you. Do you just stand there and let me hit you, or do you at least duck or try to defend yourself?
Exactly.
That's what we're facing here. So if you understand what's coming on over the next several years, then it's not scary. And you understand at the end of the day, we get to redesign government. And this is what we're looking at with these neocons. And that's why I say this is the end of republicanism. Wow. And hopefully we'll move more towards a real democracy. Certainly in today's environment with the internet, why can't we all vote for a president or for a policy online? Do you want your taxes raised? Yes or no? You know?
Right.
You know, we're never asked any of this stuff. You had Janet Yellen going on and say that the IRS was wanted to go check $600 transactions on eBay. Oh, to get the rich. Oh, I don't think Elon Musk is selling some used bike on eBay for $600.
No. No, exactly. And I want to bring people's attention to your website where you do analysis and you have paid reports that are deep dive analysis reports on various issues. You just announced one about Israel. It's called the New Jihad. Is that what it is?
I mean, this is basically, we have very good sources. So effectively, the conclusion is, you know, looking at the future for oil, et cetera. But the conclusion is, look, this was just another 9/11.
Meaning it was engineered and allowed to happen.
Yes.
So the government can expand its power. Yeah.
Absolute 1,000% guaranteed. The first World Trade Center guys drew the World Trade Center on the wall of their cell with planes going into it before it happened. They knew it was coming. They even locked up their lawyer, Lynn Stewart, claiming that she passed notes back and forth. And then to say, oh, well, we didn't know. If you look at when they created Homeland Security, look at the excuse that they used. They said, well, some agencies had information, but they didn't share it.
Right.
That was why the justification to create Homeland Security, a single agency to gather everything from everybody else.
Yep, that's right. Power. It's all about power.
And they knew it was coming. World Trade Center was basically a demolition because they knew it was coming. Nothing even hit that building.
You're talking about Building 7.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing with the Pentagon. I mean, I know people from Congress ran down there. They didn't even see a plane.
Well, that's because there wasn't a plane that hit the Pentagon. Otherwise, there would have been plane parts and luggage all over the place.
It happened to be the very room the day before Rumsfeld said all the records were and they were going to investigate missing, you know, $3 trillion in the Pentagon budgets.
Right.
But that is the room that was hit.
Yeah, unreal. Well, Mr. Armstrong, we appreciate you, your courage, your analysis, your mind, and you're helping a lot of people navigate these dark times that are coming. And I want to thank you for spending time with us today.
Well, thank you. Just remember, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. We just have to understand how this unfolds. And at that point, we get to recreate something for our children.
Well said. Okay. Well, that's something to look forward to. Thank you so much, Mr. Armstrong. It's an honor to speak with you today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
All right. Take care now. Again, folks, Martin Armstrong there. Just be prepared. We're going to go through 8 or 9 years of dark times here. You can navigate it if you have good information, and that's what we try to bring you here on Brighteon.com. Visit armstrongeconomics.com to take advantage of his assets and special reports. Some of them are paid, but he's got free articles and things like that as well. And thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, free speech platform. And we're going to make it through these years together. So thank you for joining me today, and feel free to share this everywhere. God bless you all. Take care. Thank you for your support of HealthRangerStore.com. And we've got some really important products to help protect the integrity of your nutrition and your physiology. Let me show you what I've selected for you today. We've got black cumin seed oil, and read about that. It's extraordinary. Astaxanthin, which is a carotenoid that is fat soluble, and it is a very powerful molecule. I have to be careful what I say. Do the research on astaxanthin. You'll be absolutely amazed. Vitamin C, of course, also, but ours is non-China. It's non-GMO, and it's laboratory tested. And then not only do we have bee pollen there, but 5G defense that you see in the purple vials above the bee pollen. 5G defense is extraordinary. It contains superoxide dismutase, which is an enzyme that helps your body eliminate the really dangerous free radicals that can cause damage to your cells. 5G defense does not block radiation, but it helps your body eliminate the free radicals caused by exposure, or I should say formed by exposure to 5G radiation and other forms of even non-ionizing radiation, which can be bad for you in many different ways. So if you want to defend your nutrition, you want to eliminate the free radicals that can damage your cells, 5G defense is an excellent way to do that. It's not an inexpensive product, but it's easy to blend into smoothies. And I've started adding it every day to, you know, my own smoothie right here, which is avocados and bananas and whey protein, a bunch of other groovy things, turmeric as well. Check out healthrangerstore.com. Our website gives you hundreds of solutions for personal health and also for your home, for living well, for prevention, nutrition. Here's kombucha, probiotics, and pomegranate. We've got many solutions for you here. Organic cocoa love. And, you know, winter is approaching. This is excellent. Served hot, by the way. There's our bee pollen, and we have many other products here. We also have really great colloidal silver products, including our colloidal silver mouthwash here, all lab tested for heavy metals and other things. There's our 5G defense powder, organic turmeric root powder. Understand, folks, that a lot of turmeric root powder is contaminated with lead. And we do lead testing via ICP-MS, and I showed you a video of that instrument the other day, our new auto-sampling robot. So our turmeric powder is the cleanest in the marketplace. We do the testing of every lot. Anyway, many other products here at healthrangerstore.com, and you can scroll through, you can search, you can check all the categories, you can see all of the certifications that we have, supplements, personal care, food and beverage, and also freeze-dried fruits right here in number 10 cans. Oh, it looks like most of it's sold. Well, that's because everybody's stocking up right now, given that the world is plummeting into chaos. So get while you can. Look, blueberries. You can get blueberries right now. That's awesome. And these are big number 10 cans with a certified organic, laboratory-tested, freeze-dried whole blueberries. So that's why they're not cheap, because this is real food with real nutrients that you will need during a real emergency. So thank you for your support, and we appreciate you, and it's your support that keeps us going here on Brighteon.com and naturalnews.com. Again, thank you so much. I'm Mike Adams. Take care.